Turkey is in the spotlight as a bomb blast blamed on the ISIL ripped through the border town of Suruç, killing 32 people. This once again raises the question regarding Turkey's relation to the ISIL terrorist group and the Kurdish question, which Turkey simply cannot avoid. Known as a conduit for allowing terrorists and weapons into Syria, Turkey has now stressed the need to halt the flow of foreign militants through its border into Syria. What then of the moderate militants being trained by the U.S. on Turkish soil? And does this mean that Turkey is now going to move past its goal of regime change in Syria and actually combat the ISIL? Let's find out in this edition of The Debate. Let me start off by introducing our guest. Joining us from San Francisco is Richard Becker. He's with the Answer Coalition. And joining us from studios in Beirut is political commentator Jihad Marakadeh. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here in this edition of The Debate. Now, Mr. Becker, I'll start off with you, if I may. How would you define Turkey's role in the crisis in Syria and the rise of terror groups like the Al-Nusra Front and the ISIL?
Well, I think that it's clear that Turkey has played a very important role in the rise of these organizations and of their of the role that they've played inside of the revolt against the government, against the Syrian government, that has become increasingly an affair led by the Nusra Front and the ISIL. And so Turkey now sees this coming back to them, as has happened many, many times before. The U.S. in Afghanistan, for instance, and Saudi Arabia in Afghanistan come to mind immediately. And Turkey is, of course, part of NATO, the NATO alliance. But the biggest power inside of NATO, the one that has played the largest role in bringing about the disastrous situation inside Syria and inside Iraq and opened the door, I'm not saying created, but opened the door for the rise of the Islamic State and other affiliated groups was the United States. And that we don't hear from Vice President Biden. He's blaming Turkey, and Turkey shares some of the blame. But what really brought about this situation was the U.S. invasion of Iraq, the arrogant imperialist invasion that took place in 2003, led by the neocons, who claimed that this would transform the region into something that would be acceptable to the United States, would be fashioned after the United States, that would be friendly to the state of Israel, that is the close U.S. ally and all that. And instead, what has happened is that it's opened the door to utter disaster and a situation that is really out of control, including out of the control of the United States, which was really the regulator to a large degree of the situation in the Middle East prior to the U.S. invasion.
Right, Mr. Marakadeh, a lot of militants supported by Turkey or even trained on its soil have ended up joining terror groups like the ISIL. Now, do you think that Turkey has been so blinded by its goal of deposing Assad that it is willing to see the country fall into the grips of terror groups?
I think there is a major confusion here between ISIS and Nusra. Each one of them plays a different role. ISIS, which used to be supported by Turkey by, for all intents and purposes, is playing its own role today, while as al-Nusra is under the control of the coalition of Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar, and the various smaller groups, Islamist groups, and so on. Turkey in the past has supported Daesh in order, in their opinion, to get rid of Bashar al-Assad. This group is totally uncontrollable today. The fact that Turkey has switched from supporting Daesh to supporting Nusra has led Daesh, in my opinion, to attack Turkey within Turkish territory. And this is something the Turks will not accept. So the Turks have a real problem on their hand. On the one hand, now they are attacking Daesh. On the other hand, they did not want a Kurdish state on the Syrian border, on their border. On the third hand, they still want to get rid of Bashar al-Assad, but they have to deal with the Daesh threat or the ISIS immediately. And al-Nusra is being supported by the Turks, Saudi, and the Qataris in a single room, so to speak, in a single command and control center. So in my opinion, the Turks have switched. The result of this switch is the attack of Daesh against Turkey. And I do not think that Turkey can go much further than just responding.
Right, Mr. Morakadeh, going forward with this issue of supporting ISIL versus al-Nusra, or supporting al-Nusra instead of ISIL, what do you make of this, though? But because isn't al-Nusra also committing atrocities in Syria? Isn't al-Nusra also connected to al-Qaeda, which is being used as an excuse to carry out drone operations against Pakistan, against Afghanistan, and even as far away as Somalia?
No, I do not agree. The al-Nusra, which is fighting in Syria, is very loosely connected to al-Qaeda insofar as they now take their orders, they now take their weapons from a single command and control center, which is manned by Turks, Saudis, and Qataris. They've got the money, they've got the weapons, and they are the this trio of Turkey and Saudi Arabia are the one who are controlling the money, the weapons, and everything. And they have put together this coalition of forces. Yes, in the absolute term, you are right. Al-Nusra is probably connected to Al-Qaeda. But in the reality, on the ground, it is not, insofar as it is totally dependent on the Turks. And if you look back, when Al-Nusra was on its own, it did not do much damage to Syria or to Bashar. Now that it is part of a single command and control center, it has made significant breakthroughs in the north of Syria.
Okay, Mr. Becker, how would you respond to that?
Well, I think that we still have to go back, if we look at this in the overview, to the fact that these organizations, the Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda affiliate al-Nusra, Front and the Islamic State, they did not exist before inside of Iraq or to a very large degree inside of Syria either, before the U.S. invasion, and then followed by the U.S., the NATO-led war against the government of Libya, and the support from outside, from NATO, from Saudi Arabia, from Qatar, from others, for the rebellion against the government, the secular government in Syria, and attempting to replace it. So today, if we look at the situation, Syria is torn apart. It's not one country anymore. Iraq is torn apart. It's not one country anymore. Libya is torn apart. It's not one country anymore. And I think that we really have to, in addition to seeing the particular role that Turkey is playing, that Saudi Arabia is playing, that the role that the West has played now over the last more than a decade, and actually quite a bit longer than that, going back really to the beginning of the decolonization process, has been one to make war against the secular progressive movements and governments in the Arab world, in the Middle East as a whole, and with consequences now that many of which are unforeseen even by them, but which are truly disastrous for the people who are suffering in the countries that I mentioned. What has really weakened the role of the secular governments and secular movements in the region.
So, Mr. Becker, when the U.S. and Turkey stress the need to halt the flow of foreign militants into Syria through the Turkish border, do you think that is going to happen?
Well, it's a very big border, and there's a lot of ways to go, but certainly there could be a stopping of the flow, the huge flow that's coming in through Turkey, or it could be slowed. But the reality is that the situation has slipped away from them to a very large degree. That right now the contradiction that the United States faces is that while it wants to stop the advance of the Islamic State, of ISIL or ISIS, It also is in a position where, because of the earlier war in Iraq, there's no support inside of the United States, or very, very little support inside the United States, for a massive U.S. intervention, again, in the region, of sending hundreds of thousands of troops, which is what it would take to turn things around. At least that's what it appears. And even then, there is no assurance that that would be the outcome. And, you know, 150,000 troops, U.S. troops, and more were in Iraq. They were unable to quell the resistance of the people of Iraq to foreign occupation. And in 2013, when President Obama came right to the brink, when the Obama administration came right to the brink of going to war against Syria, they pulled back. And they pulled back because they knew that this was something that the people in the United States and people around the world were opposed to. So they have created conditions that confront them now with a conundrum about what to do.
All right, Mr. Morokade, I put the same question to you because, as you've just also pointed out yourself, Turkey is stuck between a rock and a hard place, where it supported ISIL in the beginning, now it's supporting al-Nusra Front, and it has the issue of the Kurdish question. And then there's also that goal of removing President Bashar al-Assad from power. So will Turkey close its borders to foreign militants?
Turkey, over the last 2 weeks, Turkey has already started closing down on the militants within Turkey. They have arrested a number of people already. And it is this renewed aggressiveness, so to speak, of Turkey towards Daesh, not towards al-Nusra, that has led to al-Nusra reacting in the way it has reacted. In my opinion, with regards to the question of the United States and the role of the United States, I would like to point out a couple of things. First of all, the Russian President, President Vladimir Putin, during the visit of the Syrian Foreign Minister, Mr. Waleed Mualim, called on a regional coalition, including Saudi Arabia and Turkey, to fight Daesh. Of course, Waleed Mualim, the Syrian Foreign Minister, refused to be in a coalition with those that he thinks are in opposition to the regime of Bashar al-Assad. On the other hand, during the interview of President Obama with Milton Friedman in the New York Times, President Obama mentioned that he was surprised to receive a direct phone call from President Vladimir Putin to discuss the situation in Syria. In my opinion, at the end of the day, Russia and the United States of America are both in agreement on something that needs to be done in Syria as guarantors. And during his press conference, President Obama invited Iran to be part of the solution and to be part, together with the Gulf allies of the United States of America. That's the way he said it in his press conference, that basically he considers that Iran is part of the solution in Syria and we should all negotiate together. So if you take President Putin and President Obama together, there is something cooking there. Turkey, Iran, Saudi Arabia, with regards to the solution in Syria, with the support of Russia and the United States of America.
Right, Mr. Becker, I'd ask you the question regarding, as Mr. Morokade has pointed out, something needs to be done when it comes to the situation in Syria. And this recent phone conversation between the U.S. and Turkey, that is the U.S. president and the Turkish president, they discussed the deepening of their cooperation in, quote, fighting against ISIL and common efforts to bring security and stability and a political settlement to the conflict in Syria. Is this a U-turn in policy from the one that we've seen in the past, which has always called for regime change?
Well, there's definitely a shift in policy that's going on. There's no question about that. In addition to what you just mentioned, the U.S. Agreement, or the P5+1 agreement with Iran, is also connected to the regional situation. It's not that anyone really believed that Iran was on the brink of a nuclear weapon, and the Iranian government has repeatedly said that it hasn't been. But the opposition to the agreement inside of the United States and coming from Israel as well is due to the fact that they believe that this represents a shift in the, or could represent a very significant shift in the U.S. relationship with other countries in the Middle East, in particular with Iran. And objectively speaking, in Iraq, the U.S. and Iran are on the same side against the Islamic State. They're not really on the same side in a more profound sense, but in terms of the what's happening with the Islamic State and effort to bring it down or to contain it, that is definitely true. So I think that, you know, we've seen these brash and arrogant demands that have gone on since 2011, that Bashar al-Assad must resign, his government must go, there can be no settlement otherwise. And yet here today, you can really see without any doubt that the alternative to the Bashar al-Assad government is an Al-Qaeda or Daesh Islamic State type regime coming in Syria.
Right.
And so I think that has alarmed many.
Not at all, not at all.
Go ahead, Mr. Morakadi.
Not at all. No, I was saying that the potential agreement between Russia and the United States is the Geneva Agreement in 2012, 30 June 2012, whereby both countries agreed that Bashar al-Assad should hand over power. So Bashar is spent power now. Bashar does not represent any guarantee to anybody anymore. Bashar al-Assad is, with regards to both Russia and the United States, is gone. The real problem is, well, who is going to replace him? How to make sure that whoever is going to replace him is controllable? And this is a job of Turkey, Iran, and Saudi Arabia with the support of United States and Russia. But Bashar al-Assad, as president of Syria, it's as far as all the countries in the region are concerned, and as far as the superpowers are concerned, it's over and done with. They've already said it 3 years ago.
Okay,
Russians.
Mr. Becker, I'll give you 30 seconds to respond
agreement.
To that.
Well, things have changed a lot since 2012. We've seen the rise of both the al-Nusra Front and the Islamic State, and they are the major players along with other like-minded organizations. And so, you know, this imaginary idea that there's, some democratic alternative to Bashar al-Assad's government right now, I think is really, really highly illusory. And I think that, you know, we are in a very, very different situation than we were 3 years ago. And even then, I think the agreement that the Assad government had to go on the part of Russia was perhaps rhetoric at that time as well.
Okay, let's leave it there for now. That was Richard Becker with the Answer Coalition joining us from San Francisco and joining us from studios in Beirut was political commentator Jihad Morakadi. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for your participation in this edition of The Debate. From me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.